Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, the personality of the show, the man himself, Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
Steven Weasel Hurley sitting across from me. And of course, no comic book is complete without a hero, and we have a local hero here on the panel from the station in Sumter County, firefighter extraordinaire, the hydraulic upright himself, Chris Rankin. What's going on, man?
Hey, not much, man. How's it going?
So would it make more sense to call you the hydro upright because water and fire, or am I I'm probably overthinking that, aren't I?
Yeah, a little bit.
So, like, I know this is radio, not TV, but Weasel just looked at me like, shut the beep up, Cam. I know you're joking, but it's still an appropriate look, too. I give you credit. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's good thinking there, but I don't think it'll work that way with the upright going with hydro.
Yeah, it could be like, okay, so follow me. It could be like a street, like a water cannon on the sidelines for the opposing team to try to deflect the ball away from the goal line. Adam Vinatieri will love that. Probably not. So
yeah, it almost like that Buffalo Wild Wings commercial that they have, like the sprinklers come on, hit the kicker.
That's what I'm talking about.
You just had the water going through between the uprights or something, trying to deflect it a little bit or something.
So interesting thought, gentlemen. It's possible, based on the various candidates out there this year, that we could very well have an offensive player of the year and a defensive player of the year on the same team, depending on how things go. Here's a pop quiz, gentlemen. Can you name me the last combination of players, offensive and defensive player of the year in the NFL on the same team? I believe the year on this is 2003 for context. Okay. I'll give you
I'm just going to throw out...
go ahead, Weasel.
Maybe LaDainian Tomlinson and... Sean Merriman.
That's not a bad guess. Unfortunately, dramatically incorrect. Not really dramatically, but it's an incorrect. That's a really good guess, though. I get it from the hit. Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Look, you came strong there. I'm not going to lie. Bit of a hint. I can give you the player's last name, or I can give you the team. Which do you think? Which you want?
I guess the team.
The Ravens.
Ravens. Oh, Lewis, linebacker Lewis, and...
Is that right? Ray Lewis was even the player of the year that year.
Jamal Lewis and...
So, Chris, you're talking over him while he's nailing it like a porn star over here. Ray Lewis and Jamal Lewis is indeed the correct answer. By the way, how'd you like nailing it on the porn like a porn star on the air here? There you go. Weasel's new... No, not really. Moving on. You know, we mentioned porn stars and stuff. I know there's a lot of Lions fans that's going to feel like they got screwed in the Thursday night game. What, you didn't like that transition?
No, not that they didn't get screwed. It's their team screwed them.
That's probably true. I just said they felt like they got screwed. I didn't say they did. I want that. No. Okay. Weasel's like, no, stop it.
I got something for it later.
I got something for that. But Weasel's lowering the hammer tonight. I like it. We're minutes in and Weasel's on fire. But, Chris, let me pass it to you, man. Packers, Lions, throw it down, man.
All right, the Lions looking for their fourth straight win of the season, jumped out to a 17-point first-quarter lead, and are on their way to sweep the Packers this year. But then the second half came, the Packers offense coming from the sewer and with a little help from the officiating, won on an untimed Hail Mary attempt, 27-23. We'll talk about that officiating a little bit later. Lions defense shut down the Packers offense for a second time this season in the first half. Aaron Rodgers was 24 for 36 for 273 yards, two touchdowns, and an INT. Most of those yards came in the second half. He was also the leading rusher with 27 yards. 17 of those were a QB scramble for a touchdown. James Starks took a handoff inside the 10-yard line and fumbled it into the end zone, and it was recovered by Randall Cobb for their first touchdown. Devontae Adams also had a touchdown, and tight end Richard Rodgers had 8 catches for 146 yards. 61 of those 146 came from that last play of the game for a touchdown. The Lions' Matt Stafford almost mirrored Aaron Rodgers' stats. He was 23 for 35 for 220 yards with 2 touchdowns. Megatron and tight end Eric Ebron both had a touchdown catch. But going back to the Hail Mary that won the game, the Packers had the ball inside their own 25 with 6 seconds left. So here comes the circus. Packer receiver threw the ball all the way back to Aaron Rodgers, who was brought down high in the shoulder pads. The refs thought it was a face mask, called it as a face mask penalty for, you know, 15 yards, brought it up, and Rodgers threw a Hail Mary, and all the Lions defenders were in the back of the end zone. And tight end Richard Rodgers, leaping from the 2-yard line, came down with it in the end zone to win the game.
So Weasel's looking to get in here, man. Go ahead, Weasel.
Okay, so on the penalty, what I noticed was the defender for the
Lions.
The Lions, his thumb, literally his thumb, went inside his helmet, and the ref behind him, he saw. I think when I say like his thumb, it touched the inside of his face mask.
Okay.
And then he removed it. He didn't twist his head or anything, but I think when he was tackling, I think he had his shoulder or something, and the ref saw him twist, and then he called that a 15-yard penalty. Now, with refs, we see slow motion. With refs, they got it's like a split second that happens, and I think he was just looking at his head, mm-hmm. and he noticed turned. So I was thinking that at most it should have been a 5-yard penalty, but
well, they don't do
it
that
can't
anymore.
Be,
there's only 15 yarders.
There's only 15.
Yeah,
that's dumb. But but that play right there, it was. Literally, he wasn't twisting his helmet. I think if they did some review or something like that, they would have saw, oh, our bad type
so,
of thing.
So there's a number of things.
Yeah, but they don't review penalties.
Yeah.
Right, they don't review judgment calls, which is what a face mask is. And then I'll put it this way. You make the good point. I'll ask you, Weasel, when you saw in fast motion in bang-bang style, could you tell? Like, would you have thrown? If you saw it bang-bang, would you have thrown the flag?
If it was that quick with how the NFL is, maybe I would. Yeah.
You would have thrown it. Okay.
We would not have because he's a Vikings fan and it was against the Packers. He would have let it end.
So, well, no? You mentioned that. Maybe that would have recused him for being the official. But don't ruin the question because at least the good news is I don't have to ask you the question. I already know your answer, hater.
No, I wouldn't have thrown the flag because that means the Packers would have lost. Yeah, of course I wouldn't.
Wow, I got nothing.
No, I mean, it's one of the ones, it's a judgment call. And a lot of times, really, at the end of the game, you can't really, you know, decide on, like, a judgment call. That's why they should make some things reviewable that are changing an outcome of a game, like these penalties, offside, pass interference, things like that, false starts.
I gotta tell you guys,
yeah, they're changing the outcome of the game. That's when they should start reviewing, like, hey, we're gonna make sure this is right.
But judgment call, I don't like the reviewing of judgment calls because then we'll have flags on every damn thing.
Some other guy's gonna mess it up then.
Correct.
Because of how they feel about the play. But it's a difference with having full motion, full speed versus slow motion. So it's one of those things. Yeah, it's a judgment call. But with a penalty, like with, I think also, helmet to helmet hits.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not helmet to helmet. It's like a hard hit, maybe in a guy's chest or something. But a lot of times I think refs look at the play saying how, oh, it was a devastating hit. He must have hit him helmet to helmet and then throw a flag.
I will give the refs credit here. That's something they were blowing on a regular basis 2 to 4 years ago. Lately they seem to be getting that right more often. I have to be honest there.
Okay. Yeah. And I'd like to go into a little bit detail for the last play of the game for the Hail Mary.
Okay.
So, pretty much you have the Lions defense. Now, their defenders ended up being 6 players in the end zone.
Okay.
You had 3 guys rushing.
Okay.
And then you had 2 guys in the flats, I guess, right in the middle of the end zone. And I think the Packers were at about their own 40-yard line. So these 2 guys, pretty much they're sitting there doing nothing. And they were there because in case they were going to do like the hook and ladder or pitches, throwing it around,
right?
Like the Houston playoff game. Now, so Rodgers drops back. He has 3 rushers going at him. They, I think, all converge in the middle. Rodgers had plenty of time to swirl around to the right and wind up. Yeah. He had plenty of time to wind up and everything.
Yeah.
He wasn't forced to his left. All the guys were there, so he pretty much had free motion to launch the ball. Now, one thing that they could have did was they could have had their defensive ends or even those 2 guys doing nothing, contain Rodgers. It would be charging from the outside and contain him to the middle of the field.
At least not give him time to wind up to crank a 60-yard ball down the field.
Yeah. And about the pass, it was an excellent pass. It's like,
sure,
how ridiculous it was that he threw it about 60 yards, and the height of that football, I don't know. It's a good one of those good 500 balls where you just throw it as far as you can up in the air. And so he threw an amazing pass, landed right in the end zone. But what they did wrong in the end zone, those six defenders, everybody was 5 yards at least away from the goal line. That was like so stupid. And they also have Calvin Johnson, who was, they didn't put him in. Calvin Johnson, this guy is 6'5", what, 240 pounds.
Yeah, he'd be.
And he runs like a 4.4 40, or I think some say 4.3 40.
I'm more thinking his vertical jump is a factor than his 40.
Yes, the vertical jump. So, I heard the Lions practice with him at with the Hail Mary team.
Really?
Yeah. They practice with him like that. You pretty much put him on the goal line and you say, go get it. And about Rodgers, the guy who caught the game winning touchdown, I'm pretty sure I looked it up and I think the guy's like 6'2". And I think he's a bigger guy.
6'5".
I would say about 220, 230 or so.
Yeah.
So when he leaped for that, there were no Lions defenders. Everyone was behind waiting for the ball to come to them. Everybody just was like looking around, and Rodgers was like when the ball was up in the air, he was like at the 15-yard line, just coming, like creeping up.
Ah! Yeah.
And so he's at the 15, 10, the ball's still up in the air. He had time to turn around and jump for the pass, and it was just one of those things where the Lions did everything wrong in that play. And it stinks to have the face mask, but not getting any pressure on Rodgers. Megatron, I mean, he would have, I'm sure he would have been able to catch
that. A factor,
that,
possibly.
But yeah, but it's just that I couldn't understand why they had those two players just sitting there doing nothing. Three guys on the rush, six guys in the back. Pretty much the Lions just, because of that defense that they put, they deserve to lose that game.
Fair enough. Hey, Chris, what is it they say about prevent defenses?
They never work.
Well, they prevent you from winning the game.
They prevent you from winning the game.
Anyways, Weasel breaking it down. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't understand all these Hail Marys, why they don't pressure the quarterback, because if he can't wind up the throw at distance and the ball doesn't get there, none of this is a factor.
Yeah, and they did it because they thought they were going to possibly do a hook and ladder type of thing.
That doesn't change my answer.
But then, well, I don't mind those two guys there. It's those six Lions defenders that or more than 5 yards deep in the end zone. He's throwing the ball 60 yards. He's going to throw it as high as he can. That means he's going to barely get it to the goal line. Why are you not just winding up at the goal line? Because you can see where that ball's going. You can go back a little further. But then it took them that long to realize that the ball was coming up short.
And I think,
and so my problem is, why didn't they line up at least three guys at the line of scrimmage? Right? I mean, at the goal line. Of those six guys that were in the back.
I'm pretty sure.
And the reason why Richard Rodgers was taking so long to get down there, he's a tight end. He's more like 260. And now it's him running full speed. Everyone else is already down there.
Yeah.
He was still running full speed, and that's how much faster the other guys are than him.
Yep. And as I think what the problems the Lions had were that they were watching the ball, because it's a ridiculous kind of throw.
Yeah.
That I think they were all looking up for the ball.
Ball
and then the other guy, Rodgers, is just, you know, he's just running up the field. I don't think people saw him. I don't think the Lions defenders even saw him.
Because he took so long.
At the 10-yard line. No, not that he took long. The guy's, it's a big guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's getting the play late. You're saying they didn't see him.
Well,
I'm saying they don't think that's
what most normal Hail Mary offenses do. You have a trailer guy sitting around the 10-yard line until the ball is thrown, and he's the one that's judging it. So if it's short, or if the defenders try to bat it down, that's why they never tell you to bat it down into the field of play, bat it back or to the side, because you get that trailer player coming up to clean up. So if someone jumps up to try to bat it down, you get that cleanup guy there. Well, the cleanup guy was coming because he's sitting around, you know, poaching on the 10-yard line looking for that ball, and he saw that it wasn't going into the end zone. So that's why he jumped around the 2-3-yard line to jump up to catch the ball and came down with it in the end zone.
It's the when things go wrong. There was the Jacksonville game. I think it was the David Garrard days, and Girard, he threw a Hail Mary pass, and I forgot what team it was against, but the guy got two hands up, batted the ball, not downward, but he batted the ball towards the goal line. Some Jags guy.
Towards the field of play when he could have hit it out of bounds. I mean,
or like, yeah, punched it out of bounds, or even maybe try to catch it. But he batted it down. He did what was quote-unquote right.
He tried to bat it down and failed. And I know the one you're talking
and then
about.
It went right into the stomach of a Jags player.
S3.
So, but that one was just...
That may have been Bortles' first game, possibly, even.
The difference was, between those games, is that you have... This guy was, you know, playing the ball, and it was dumb that he batted it forward, but he was there, he touched it, and for this Lions game, I don't even think anybody...
Was in the vicinity.
Well, yeah, I think they were just, the Lions were just hanging out and hoping the ball comes to them. So, the trailer was definitely, I heard that Davante Adams was maybe going to be the guy that he would try to bat it down towards Rodgers. So, but I guess Rodgers made the call to, you know, go for it, and
I got this.
Yeah, so.
So it worked out better for Richard Rodgers than it did Brian Bostic. Oh, wait, too soon to mention the Brian Bostic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyways. So, yeah, and because of that, the Lions with the worst luck, with fumbles into the end zone and then things at the end of the game and calls between the Seahawk thing, wild bag, and this. Now, granted, you could argue that they were lucky to beat the Packers the first time, but I guess it kind of cancels out at this point. Wow. What fun it is to be a Lions fan. Not really. Yeah. Chris, anything else?
No, just how bad the Packers have been playing. They're 8-4 now. So they're pretty much certain that they'll make the playoffs, especially how bad the NFC is as well. Actually, a lot of the teams are this year. So the way they've played this past month and a half, you even see them making it out of the first round.
Making it past the first round, you mean?
Yes.
Well, I'll say this. Their success in any game between now and playoff time is very simple. How much love will they get from Lacy, Eddie Lacy? Because the more he produces, the more balanced their offense, the more successful they are. And the last time Eddie Lacy was a reliable contributor, he did have some yardage in the Bears game.
He had two games in a row where he did pretty good. One, I think the first of which was the Lions, was the Vikings.
Vikings, thank you. But yeah, both things that were in common with the Lions games here is the lack of production from one Eddie Lacy. What on, Weasel? So yeah, I'm going to put it on. If they can get a balanced offense, they have a shot to get past the first round. But if they come out and they don't have Lacy, not just, you know, not in the lineup, but not doing his thing, they're going to be pretty useless in the first round. I can see where you're going there. And not for nothing, there are plenty of NFC teams that are knocking on the proverbial door of heaven to get into the postseason in the NFC. I'm just saying. Next up.
Oh, I'll add just one more thing.
Bring it.
About the whole thing with Eddie Lacy. I think he got like 4 yards, I think, the whole game against the Lions. And, you know, people had their, you know, fantasy football hopes up with him, you know. And it wasn't just how bad, if he was playing like bad or anything, they benched him. But Eddie Lacy and Alonzo Harris, they missed curfew Wednesday night in Detroit. And pretty much, yeah, they said, yeah, you're not going to play much. So that stunk.
You know, that stinks, except for the fact that somehow or another the Packers still win the football game. Figure that out. Yeah. Anyways, so next up, Ravens, Dolphins. Look, this game didn't have any implications in it. We were basically put in the position to pick the team with their starting quarterback against a team that has Matt Schaub playing. Matt Schaub did not disappoint. He did indeed have a situation where he threw an interception, and one of them was a pick six by a defensive lineman who tipped it at the line, caught it, and then took it to the hizzy, which apparently was the difference in the game. 15-13, the Fins over the Ravens. If you're a Ravens fan, you're ultimately pissed because despite the fact that Matt Schaub went 32 for 46, 308 yards with a touchdown and two picks, one for the pick six there, Ryan Tannehill goes 9 for 19, 86 yards passing. That's total yards passing with the touchdown. Yeah, that doesn't matter. You know, you want to know the only thing that's worse than 0 and 2 in the red zone? 0 and 0 in the red zone. Of course, 0 and 1 is also worse. I knew you were going to bring it up, Weasel. Don't tell me you weren't. But, yeah, I mean, when you're in a place where Matt Schaub's your starting quarterback and you still can't beat a quarterback passing for 86 yards total, yeah, I mean, Baltimore was pretty much without hope anyway, and let's just say the lack of hope continues. Next up, Cardinals-Rams. Chris.
Sorry, I missed my page up. All right. After an embarrassing loss earlier in the season, the Cardinals got revenge on the NFC West opponent Rams in a 27-3 beatdown to hold on to the first place into the division and the number two spot in the NFC with a 10-2 record. As for the Rams, they are one game out of competing for the top pick in the 2016 NFL Draft. The Cardinals put up a bunch of yards. Carson Palmer, 3 for 356 yards with 2 touchdowns. Those touchdowns going to J.J. Nelson and running back David Johnson. Johnson also had 99 yards on 22 carries. John Brown had 113 receiving yards. Michael Floyd had 104. And Larry Fitzgerald had 55 yards on 8 catches. Those 8 catches put him at 1,000 for his career, making him the youngest player to reach that mark.
There you go.
The Rams basically sucked. Foles was less than 50%. Threw an INT. Todd Gurley had 41 yards on 9 carries. You know, not bad, 4.5 yards a carry, except that 34 of them came on 1 carry. So he had 8 carries for 7 yards in the game.
Wow. So much for that whole rookie of the year thing, huh?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, really, you know, difference in the game. The Cardinals had 29 first downs for the Rams, 9. And with that lack of offensive performance, they fired the offensive coordinator for the Rams, but I don't think it's going to do much. Really, that's it in this game. Just, you know, the Cardinals got revenge on them after dropping the first matchup.
Pop quiz. Jeff Fisher still in St. Louis at the end of the season. Weasel.
Him and Greg Williams should get fired.
I don't see why. I don't blame you for thinking they should be fired. Will they?
I think, yes, they will be fired.
Very good. Thank you, Weasel. Hey, Go ahead.
I'm pretty sure it was the Rams game.
Yeah.
But because what happened was there were two Rams defenders that were converging on a tight end. I believe it was they were playing the Cardinals.
That's correct. Jermaine Gresham, perhaps?
I believe so. So these two guys are converging to hit.
Gresham.
So he caught the ball and he ducked. And then you have one guy that's he was going for like the tackle. The other guy he lowered his helmet and instead of tackling the defender, he lowered his helmet into his teammate. And I don't think you can get a call. Actually, can you get a call on helmet to helmet on your teammate?
No.
So I think he got a concussion.
Only in the Pro Bowl, I should say.
And it's just one of those things that, I mean, it looks pretty ridiculous, but I was like, yeah, that's what you get.
Hashtag karma. Chris, Jeff Fisher, is he still in St. Louis at the end of this season?
No, I don't believe he will be.
I think they're going to keep him one more year, guys. I got to tell you, for my money, this team's kind of quitting all that. If they can get a decent bleeping quarterback, I feel like the Rams have a shot, but who knows? I think that I can see where you guys are coming from. They might be doing bad enough to where they feel like that they lost this team. I think how the Rams finish the season will definitely be a factor. Speaking of teams finishing the season being a factor, Bengals, Browns, whiz.
Yeah, boy. So the Bengals on the road, they crushed their division rival, the Browns, 37-3.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton was 14 of 19, 220 yards and 2 touchdowns. In addition, he had 4 scrambles for 11 yards and a touchdown. He was sacked once. And you even saw A.J. McCarron. He played for a bit, 2 of 3, 19 yards.
Hey, I got this softball tournament to go to, A.J. Why don't you play? See, it's funny because in the offseason, they booed Andy Dalton at a softball tournament.
Huh. Didn't hear about that one.
Oh, yeah, we might have talked about it on this show, but I'll put it this way. Here's a tip for you there, Red Rifle. Here's one for you out of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Then all the reindeer loved him. Just saying.
As they shouted out with glee.
Boom! There's your Christmas.
All right, last thing is like toothpaste. So getting back to the Bengals running back Jeremy Hill, 22 carries for 98 yards and a touchdown. Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert, I believe at least at that time, he led the NFL in touchdown receptions. He was out of the game due to a neck stinger. So wide receiver A.J. Green, yeah, 5 catches, 128 yards, and a touchdown.
Bing!
Wide receiver Marvin Jones, 5 for 55, and a touchdown. So the Browns, just a couple things, because, yeah, they didn't really do that much good. Browns quarterback Austin Davis, 25 of 38, 230 yards with an INT, sacked twice. Former Dolphins wide receiver Brian Hartline.
Thank you.
Had 8 catches for 83 yards. And in the game, tight end Gary Barnage, something like that.
Barnage!
He rolled his ankle, but he did return to keep playing. He finished 5 for 59. So the question I have for y'all, are the Cincinnati Bengals the most complete team in the NFL? You got offense, you got defense, you got special teams.
Chris, I'm going to let you go first on this one, man. This is tough for me.
Best complete team, offense, defense.
See, you got to think about it at least.
I'm thinking, you know, it's up there. It's in the top. I think it's in the top four.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, marking it as the most complete. I don't know, because I mean the way some other teams have been playing, where the Broncos have been starting to go turn around. Yeah. Because the Broncos have all phases of the game, the Panthers have all phases of the game. So I'd say top three.
All phases of the game. Look, any team whose top wide receiver is Ted Bleeping Ginn is not set up in all phases of the expletive deleted game. But I'm gonna have to stop you there. How about all that?
I mean, really, with the Bengals, I mean, you got Eifert, who's been out, but then you got AJ Green, and that's it for receivers.
As far as receivers go, true. I mean, Marvin Jones has been.
Really, you got Greg Olsen that has the almost same production as both of them combined. I mean, not in the end zones, but end zone and touchdowns in the red zone, but.
But I mean, defense...
I'm just saying what the presence that Cam Newton has is a little more than Andy Dalton.
So it'll
balance out that one less weapon on the offense. And what the Panthers defense has been doing, and the special teams isn't that bad either.
For the moment, I'm going to agree with you on the Broncos part, though, for nothing else. Their receiver core is awesome. The tight end spot isn't great, but whatever. Brock Osweiler is about, I would say today, based on, you know, the vast body of work. That's by the way, that's sarcasm. Osweiler, you could probably put them at least, he and Dalton, on a similar plane without the experience, of course. And, of course, the Broncos defense is amazing. The run game for both teams about the same. I'll give you the Broncos. I don't know if I can sign off on the Panthers with you there. But, yeah, if there's a more complete team, I think it would be the Broncos. Weasel, were you saying something?
Well, I would say if you compare it to, like, Carolina, I think they would have the better defense. But offensive-wise, Cam Newton versus Andy Dalton. You got Greg Olsen versus Tyler Eifert. You got two running backs for the Bengals. You have Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard.
Right.
Eifert versus
Olsen.
Greg Olsen.
Right.
And offensive line and defensive line, that's, I guess, maybe the difference. But I'd say on offensive weapon-wise, I think Bengals got him beat. Otherwise, you have, like, is it Ted Ginn and
Jericho Cotchery and Cody Brown.
Yeah, so... I would take that. Oh, that guy AJ Green. I'd take him over all three of them.
I would take AJ Green, Marvin Jones, and Tyler Eifert over Functious.
There you go.
Cody Brown, Jericho Koshy. Pick your combination of freaking receivers and Greg Olsen.
It may have been different if Kelvin Benjamin was still in the team.
Obviously.
Well, he's with the team, but he's injured for the season.
Correct. Don't rule out, by the way, the running game. Jonathan Stewart is not just the guy that used to host the Daily Show anymore. He's a badass running back who's taken the helm as the cowbell back with the departure of D'Angelo Williams. I got to give him a lot of credit, too. him and Mike Tolbert, the fullback, doing amazing things as well. Anyways, more on them later. Let's take it to 49ers, Bears. Weasel, don't waste my time with this game too much.
Oh, geez. Okay, chances for the Bears to get in the playoffs as the wild card has dwindled. The Bears, 26-20 home loss to the 49ers in overtime. So, 49ers quarterback Blaine Gabbert. Respectable showing for a decent NFL quarterback. 18 of 32, 196 yards, one passing touchdown, sacked four times.
You're suffering from Manziel disease here because two of those plays combined for about, I'm going to guess, about 110 to 130 yards.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Did have also six scrambles for 75 yards and a touchdown. 49ers running back Sean Drawn, 13 carries for 36 yards and a touchdown, five receptions for 50 yards. He's a good running back if you need somebody for points per reception.
Okay.
Because he does get a good amount of passes to him in the game there. So quarterback Jay Cutler for the Bears, 18 of 31, 202 yards with an INT. Matt Forte returned, 21 carries, 84 yards, and a touchdown. Wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey, 4 for 85. Both teams were tied at 13-all from the middle of the second quarter all the way up until the fourth quarter. You have Bears running back Kadeem Carey. He ran in for a touchdown with 3:32 remaining. Bears up 22-13.
Did you just say that Carey carried in a touchdown?
Possibly. with 1:52 remaining, Gabbert put together a six-play drive that ended with him scrambling 44 yards for a touchdown.
So let me get this straight. You mentioned him as a top runner going 6 for 75 and just glaze over that most of it was on a 44-yard. Who lets freaking Blaine Gabbert run 44 expletive-deleted yards? Look, I'm a 49ers fan. That has got to be the single ugliest run I've seen all year.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I'm really glad your wife was not there watching this game with me because I think she might have thrown something at me. And you know what? I would have just taken it in the face. Just like, yeah, I'll ride the fires, T-I-T-F, take the fires. Because it was so bad, Weasel. I'm not cheering for that. I don't care if he's wearing red and gold or not. I'm yammering. Go.
So the Bears got a boost with special teams returner Deontay Thompson. He's running back with the He ran back the kickoff 74 yards to the 49ers' 28-yard line. Wow. That eventually set up Bears kicker Robbie Gould. I think in NFL history, I think he's one of the most accurate ones out there. Yeah, so 36-yard field goal. You know, three more than an extra point. Should be money. Seconds remaining. Kicked it wide left.
Ooh. Here we are in Chicago, viewing the site of the Shankopotamus here.
And that was ball game right there.
Yeah.
But it went into overtime. Both teams went 3 and out in their first drives. On the first play of the 49ers' next possession, Gabbert threw a 71-yard touchdown. I think the guy was wide open. Torrey Smith for the win.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That game was complete trash. I think the Bears let Torrey Smith score so they could go home. Because they did not want to sit the remaining 15 minutes to get the tie that should have occurred, because neither team deserved to win this football game. Yeah. I'm just saying.
So, the question is, can good old Blaine Gabbert become a franchise quarterback for the 49ers, considering that Colin Kaepernick's pretty much done, or is the guy just a career backup?
So, there's a lot of talk that Kaepernick's going to get traded. I don't know that that's a lock at this point because I'm not going to pain with Blaine. You know, I don't know. But what other option is there?
His contract, I think on paper, you just look at it and say, oh my gosh, why did the 49ers give him like a $100 million contract?
You're talking about Kaepernick.
Kaepernick, yeah. So the thing about that contract is essentially it's a year-by-year contract where...
It's varied guaranteed money essentially the way it works.
So
yeah.
I think the first year was guaranteed. It was about, I think, $10-11 million. Now, the way they have it, I think his whole guaranteed portion of his contract, I think it was only like $11 million or $15 million, something along those lines. The rest of the contract, not guaranteed. But do you really think that the Niners are going to give Colin Kaepernick a 11-year... $11 million contract to $12 million contract to play next season? I think no.
He's making $7 million less than Russell Wilson. Could be argued to getting him in a discount. I'm just throwing that out there. No, I don't. While it would be more interesting to think about where Kaepernick should go, my problem is I don't see another option in their future. Who's going to take the reins over there?
Over in 49ers?
Yeah. Blaine Gabbert he may be a stopgap answer. They may have him back next year, and he may end up starting and winning the job early and all this other crap, kind of like Damon Heward and Brody Croyle back when Herm Edwards was coaching in Kansas City. And we saw how that went when they eventually fell to having to use Tyler Palco as the third-string quarterback when those two guys were either doing bad or getting hurt. I said last year at Thanksgiving, 3 to 5 years for the Niners to be relevant again. And with the way it looks right now, that could be a positive estimate. And I'll leave that at that. Seahawks, Vikings, weasel, weasel.
In this home game for the Vikings, they got humiliated as the Seahawks crushed them 38-7.
No fancy intros, no explanations. Like, got humiliated, go!
Straightforward. So you got Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, 21 of 27, 274 yards with three touchdown passes, sacked once, had nine scrambles for 51 yards and a touchdown. And it looks like the Seahawks, they may have found their eventual successor for one running back Marshawn Lynch. It is rookie running back Thomas Rawls.
Rolling with Rawls. You like that? That was from the hip. Rolling with Rawls? Okay.
Just don't overuse it.
Roll. What do you think was going to happen? Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So he had 19 carries for 101 yards and a rushing touchdown. He did lose a fumble, though. Seahawks wide receiver Doug Baldwin has been on fire lately. He's 5 catches, 94 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I think for the past 2-3 games, he's had multiple touchdowns. You have running back Fred Jackson. He made an appearance, 2 for 13 and a touchdown. Oh, for the Vikings, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, 17 of 28, 118 yards. Yeah, that's not much. 0 touchdowns, 1 INT, sacked 4 times. And someone who's going to be angry about this game, it's going to be Vikings running back Adrian Peterson. He was shut down early on. He had only 8 carries for 18 yards. Now, the Packers game, it was about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they were saying that he didn't get to the ball enough. So the following week, he then runs wild, so maybe that'll happen this week.
Well, hold on. So let's be careful there. Peterson probably could have had a little bit more of a way in with the Falcons. And he did run all over the Atlanta, or I said the Falcons. He probably could have been used more in the Packers game.
Mm-hmm.
The next game, the Falcons game, he was used more and basically ran all over Atlanta to continue to prove that Atlanta Falcons are frauds. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that handing the ball more to a guy that's trying to hit a home run against the Seattle Seahawks defense is the right move. I wrote about this in the matchup mania leading up to this game. The problem with this matchup is that the Seahawks are good at what the Vikings aren't. They can stop the run well because they're a good defense, and they would force Bridgewater to throw the ball, which he did not do well. And they themselves, or the Vikings, I should say, aren't that great at stopping the run themselves, and they just started rolling with Rawls. And, oh, by the way, there's this guy, Russell Wilson, you know, he's learned to step up in the pocket better. We saw that in the game against the Steelers last week. I mean, Russell Wilson has looked better in the past two games than he has in the rest of the entire season, period. That's not negotiable. It ain't just about the numbers either. Just look at the damn film. You know, a guy who talks about how often, you know, Wilson's underrated. I think this is just a matchup problem, and I don't think going to Adrian Peterson this game made sense. A home run wasn't going to happen here, right? Okay, so yeah. he gets past the front line and the linebackers. He's going to beat Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. Come on, you know.
So total yards for the Vikings offense, 125. Yeah, not very good at all. They were dominated on both defense and offense. First 5 scores of the game. Maybe hold them to a field goal once. No, they were straight touchdowns all the way.
Straight cash, homie.
And as they were up 35-0 late in the third quarter. I mean, that's like 5 touchdowns, 35-0 or so. So the one bright spot for the Vikings was in the end of the third quarter when special teams returner Cordero Patterson
boom
ran back a 101-yard kickoff return for the Vikings' lone touchdown.
Yeah, so, I mean, you heard me throw down how the Vikings basically went into this game poorly matched up against this team. I'll put it this way. How much of this do we put on Bridgewater?
I would put a, I would say a good amount because I think he's not
75%.
I'd say about, actually more. I would say about like 51%.
Okay.
Because whenever your defense, I would say, for your first like a five possessions or something like that, you got to force some field goals.
That's true.
And that defense, I mean, five touchdowns in a row. It's like not necessarily in a row, but five touchdowns were the first scores of the game. And
I would argue
that's just
yeah.
that's just really bad. Especially they didn't utilize Jimmy Graham a lot, but Jimmy
well,
Graham
Jimmy
wasn't
Graham's
he
out.
Wasn't there.
Yeah,
and,
he's out. Right.
So Doug Baldwin, I don't know. He just he's blown up lately. So you know, it's a respectable team, and it took one while, but the Seahawks defense may be back, and something that is I think new compared to last year. Is that Richard Sherman, he usually played, I believe, on the right side
mm-hmm.
of the where the offense is and kind of was in, I would say, like a kind of a zone kind of defense, and he excelled at it. This year, I'm noticing it's pretty
moving
much...
Moving around a bit more.
Yeah, well, moving around, but he's going, like people called him, well, you're not a true shutdown quarterback because you just, you know, are in a zone or something. Well, now, this season, I've noticed he goes against the best... number one wide receiver or tight end, he's shadowing people and he's being successful with it.
Yeah, he's giving up some balls to on guys too. But for example, last week he people want to point out how he shut down Antonio Brown last week with the Steelers. Forget about the fact that Wheaton on the other side of the field got over 200 yards, mm-hmm. but that could be attributed to why corner Kerry Williams, who just signed a 3-year contract for $18 million in the offseason, cut today. By your Seattle Seahawks. I don't have details on why. I didn't read the full article, but I did see the headline. So there you go there, too. Chris, anything to add?
No, not at all. Just with, like I said, I've said before, some of the play callings, they're not allowing Teddy Bridgewater to excel with it. But other than that, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on him when Adrian Peterson doesn't, you know, when he's shut down and the Vikings offense basically shuts down, they're not calling the plays to make it successful for Bridgewater. They're just putting too much on him, trying to take deep shots down the field, and it's just not working.
Oh, I'm going to put it this way, and this may conflict with what I predicted in early September. If the Vikings make the playoffs, they're a first round out, because once they play a team that's good enough to stop Adrian Peterson or at least slow him, Bridgewater has shown me he can't do enough to win the game on his own. And then on top of the fact the Vikings had definitely their worst defensive performance of the year, you're definitely right about that, Weasel. This was just a bad game for them, but they'll have an opportunity to bounce back next week, but we'll get on that later. Broncos, Chargers, Weasel.
The Broncos on the road defeated their division rival, the Chargers, 17-3. Broncos quarterback Brock Osweiler.
Put stock in Brock!
16 of 26. 166 yards, one touchdown, one INT, sacked once.
Okay, so it didn't really drop or it didn't really go up. It's just kind of mid-level stack.
Yeah, pretty much. So Broncos wide receiver Demaryius Thomas, 6 catches for 61 yards and a touchdown. Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers, 18 of 35, 202 yards and one INT.
A pick six, I believe.
Yep, pick six with only 12 seconds remaining in the first quarter. So they were throwing 24 and... He just dumps a pass, and I think he about 5 yards, 10 yards, and there was Broncos linebacker Danny Trevathan.
Trevathan.
Yeah, that sounds like a Transformers kind of nickname. But he was intercepted, and he returned it for a touchdown. So
does that mean Trevathan is an Autobot because Megatron's on defense, or excuse me, on offense?
Yeah.
See?
So Chargers tight end Antonio Gates, 6 receptions for 50 yards. So who had more support on defense? It's kind of like obvious that Broncos, I think they're going to make the playoffs. Kind of safe there. And but is it this year's 2015 defense for Osweiler, or is it good old 2011 Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow?
Let me tell you why this is interesting. Is both defenses are great. You could even argue that this defense is better. But which quarterback is staking his claim, regardless of how they can throw the ball? For the moment, I'm going to say that Tebow got more support on offense, but I think he had more to do with the success of his offense as well, because it was built around him. I don't know. Chris, does that make sense to you? I'm kind of weighing that theory in my head. I still don't know what to think.
Yeah, it does. With Osweiler going in there, you know, he has more weapons on the offense. They got a little more established running game than when Tebow was there. Defensively, you know, they're pretty good then. I mean, they did add a couple pieces here. They did lose some as well. They lost Dumervil when Tebow was there, but then they also picked up Ware there at for Denver. So, yeah, I'd say Brock Osweiler, the team's a little more built to, around than it was with Tebow.
Okay, so you're saying that Osweiler's actually getting more support than Tebow did. Okay, I take that as you crediting Tebow more than anything else. So there you go.
Well, Tebow is mostly the offense is there. And then with Osweiler and everything, I mean, you know, everyone knows who Demaryius Thomas is now because of what Tebow was that game that he took our Steelers corner.
Yeah, where they won the playoff game. That would be the corner would be Ike Taylor, I believe. Boom.
Right. And, I mean, with Tebow, they had it, Eric Decker there, but, I mean, they're still filling in with Emmanuel Sanders now. So, I mean,
yeah. They
lose a player, but they put another player in place for that. So,
interesting concept, my friend. Interesting concept. Another interesting concept, a team that's getting particularly hot in the AFC West, and of course I refer to the Kansas City Chiefs as they went to the black hole known as Oakland to play against, sorry, I had something in my throat, the Oakland Raiders. You know, we talk about DC4 and how good he's been this year. Well, unfortunately for the Raiders, he had probably his worst game of the year. Yeah, he went 31 for 48, 283 yards, 2 touchdowns, had 3 interceptions. Kansas City Chiefs defense looking like the defense we expect them to with Pro Bowlers at all 3 levels. And look, if you turn the ball over like that, including a pick 6, by the way, you ain't going to win the game. On top of the defensive performance, the Chiefs, Alex Smith had 2 touchdowns passing and a running touchdown. Spencer Ware on the ground had a touchdown. 7 carries for 26 yards himself. 9 carries for 35 yards from Charcandrick West. Look, guys, Jamal who? That's the question you're asking. Jeremy Maclin had some touchdown love. Receivers catching touchdowns. What the bleep is this? 9 for 95 on the day was Maclin. He did have a fumble, so did Travis Kelce. But at the end of the day, KC might have had 2 turnovers. The Raiders had 3, including a pick 6. And you just can't have that. You just can't have that much of a turnover, especially in a divisional game like this. This means that the Chiefs have won 6 straight, I believe, charging and trailing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the standings. We'll get to them a little bit later. But another team that's in the standings for the NFC, we've been talking about frauds and fake, and guys, I gotta tell you, in 2015, it doesn't get any more fake than the Atlanta Falcons, and proof positive that as of this past Sunday, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers have swept the Atlanta Falcons. This game was 23-19. Guys, I don't know how much plastic surgery that the Falcons have had, but it's more than I can factor, because it's just all fake. Everything is fake. Fake, fake, fake. The Falcons are fake. They're nothing but a bunch of dirty birds. See what I did there? Matt Ryan going 30 for 45, 269 yards. All right, with a touchdown and an interception. Jameis Winston, 18 for 27, 227 yards with a touchdown and interception of his own. The difference for my money, though, guys, on the ground, Devontae Freeman had 14 carries for 47 yards. But Doug Martin, 25 for 95, that shows me balanced offense. That shows me the difference in this game. Sure, the red zone was a factor as the Falcons were 1 for 3, while the Bucks were 3 for 4. They got to the red zone. They put it in the end zone. That's how you win football games, you know. And I think we're going to have an antithesis to that in the upcoming game. I know Chris will talk about it. But before we do, pop quiz. Has Jameis Winston played his way into the discussion for Rookie of the Year? Weasel.
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
Todd Gurley was, I would say he was the front runner ever since he came back from the ACL injury.
He got your midseason award even.
Yeah, I believe it was like week 4 or so he came back and he was doing great. Now,
averaging 120 or 30 yards or something for his first 4 games, I believe.
Yep, and lately it's just, I think it's...
it's more like 40.
Something like that. Yeah. It's kind of like a cliche, but the veteran players, they already said that, you know, James Winston is our leader, and he says he does everything right. And
he knows how to win.
And, yeah. I mean, they're pretty much what they were the worst team in the NFL last year. And this year, they're actually contending, so not bad at all.
At the very least, I would put Dark Horse status on them. Chris, Jameis Winston, Rookie of the Year conversation, yay or nay?
I think he should be in the conversation and winning. I'm not sure because really there's not too many rookies doing all that great. I mean, you got Amari Cooper at the Raiders. He's been kind of quiet the last few weeks as well. Winston, he had up and downs early in the year. As you know, before the bye, after the bye, he came back. You know, I think he went through 4 games without an interception. I mean, he is getting help from the running game there in Tampa. So he is getting help. But in the conversation, you need to include him because of what, you know, how many wins the Bucs have now compared to what they had last year.
Yeah, I think that's a decent take. And I'll say this much. If the Bucs, I'm going to say it right here on the air. I'm going to declare it. And I don't care if Amari Cooper has a 300-yard game receiving. If the Bucs make it to the playoffs, Jameis Winston's my Rookie of the Year. Not a middle ground there.
Yeah, it's kind of obvious.
Shot it. but the reason why that won't happen is because I don't know if you've looked at the rest of the Seattle Seahawks schedule, but it ain't tough. That's going to be 3-0 and keeping them a game ahead of the Bucks, who are currently 6-6 versus the Seahawks, 7-5. And oh, by the way, I think somewhere in there they have to play the Panthers again. No, they play the Saints next week. At any rate, not the point. What is the point is the Battle of New York. No, I'm not talking about the Avengers. I'm talking about East Rutherford. I'm talking about our good friend Chris Rankin being in a moral dilemma about who to cheer for. And take us there. Jets, Giants, Chris.
In the battle against the best New York team that plays in New Jersey, the Jets beat the Giants in overtime, 23-20. The Giants were down 3-0 at one point when they started putting things together after a Dwayne Harris punt return for a touchdown. The Giants scored 20 points in the second quarter. It looked like they were going to run away with the game, but once again, they fell apart in the fourth quarter because it's as many points as they scored there. The Jets came back and tied it, and in overtime, the Jets kicked the field goal. The Giants' field goal attempt to extend overtime went wide left, and then Jets improved to a 7-5, and their playoff hopes continue as the Giants are dropped for a triple feature, 5-7. The Giants had this game won, an Eli interception in the red zone, and then going for it on a 4th-and-goal when you're up by 10 instead of kicking a field goal is what cost the Giants the game.
That was really
good. Eli finished 18 for 34 for 297 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Odell Beckham Jr. had 6 catches for 149 and a touchdown, and tight end Will Tye had 70 yards receiving. For the Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick was 36 for 50, 72% for 390 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brandon Marshall had 131 yards on 12 catches and the game-tying touchdown. Eric Decker had 8 for 101. And Bilal Powell had 8 for 91 and a touchdown, but lost a fumble that led to a Giants field goal.
Yeah, I can't help but think that that's got to be possibly the best game that Fitzpatrick has ever had as a starter. And all that because somebody punched Geno in the face. Todd Bowles for president, folks. All right. I'm just saying that right now. He'll get there. Hey, go ahead, Chris.
On the year that they've lost, that they had the lead going into the last 2 minutes, they've actually had the lead. They've lost four of the games when they've had a lead with 1 minute left in the game. They still lost. So technically, I mean, they could have been 9-3. Mm-hmm. You know, if you had those four games in there, they could be 9-3 right now looking at playoffs.
Something tells me you're not talking about the Jets there. Let me go to it because we've kind of talked about this a little bit with Coughlin and some of the late decisions. I know we had a big debate when they were playing the Patriots. Personally, I didn't have a problem with that one. But I was texting with friend of the show and fellow Giants fan, EJ Christian, who basically didn't have a problem with the aggressive decision by Tom Coughlin. You end up putting the Jets deep in their own territory. You don't expect Fitzpatrick to necessarily beat you. You have the momentum on your side at the particular time. What was it about the call that you didn't like for the field goal? To go for it instead of taking the field goal.
Yeah, no, you got to take the points, though. At that point in the game, you're up by 10. Just take the points because, I mean, really, if you look for the last couple of weeks, the games that the Jets have lost, when they've been down trying to come with a comeback, they're trying to go for a fourth down instead of kicking field goals. You got a better chance. You just got to take the points at that point instead of trying to go for a fourth down.
So when you were watching the game and you saw them line up to go for it on fourth, were you yelling at the TV at that point already?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, so there you go. It's not hindsight. He said it sucked then, too.
About
really, I mean, these stupid plays right now, I mean, I know a lot of Giants fans are getting fed up with Coughlin. They've had in the past. I mean, you always have them on the hot seat because it is New York. But, I mean, really, these couple of games, I mean, you've lost them in the fourth quarter, like the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah,
you're losing these games because of what you do before then. And I think at the end of the year, he's going to be gone.
Weasel.
About how much time was the was the play where they went for it on fourth down instead of taking the field goal?
About 8 minutes.
So I think what it came down to is that you have, if you get a touchdown or you get a field goal, any way you look at it, it changes from a two-possession game to a one-possession game.
Mm-hmm.
Right when they missed that the fourth down, they didn't convert it, you're sitting there. For the rest of the game, you have two possessions that you still need to get two scores. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I didn't like about it the most was the amount of time left on the clock. If it was 4 minutes, I'm good with it. If it's 6 minutes, I could go either way. 8 minutes is just too much football. I wasn't watching the game. I could be accused of hindsight here possibly, but I'll say this, and I've said it before on several games, you take the bleeping points. Especially when you consider, and I'm surprised Chris didn't cite this, especially when you consider how bad the Giants have been in the red zone all year. Coughlin's got to know that. I don't know. That's just where I sit.
All right, but then also flipping over to the Jets, the wide receiver duo of Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, you think it's one of the best duos in the league?
I do. It's one of the best duos in the league, and I think there's only one better. Weasel, who am I talking about?
You're talking about, maybe Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant.
Not maybe, definitely.
Wait, well, Arizona Cardinals.
Let's say it again. You cut out who?
The Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, with
the Arizona Cardinals.
With what? Brown.
Well, actually, they don't even have a duo. They have like a triple threat.
I mean, yeah, they have a better core. I think their top two. If you take just the top two versus the top two, I would still take the Steelers' top two. Well, hell, Wheaton's not bad either. And then I got Heath Miller. I don't know. I'm not convinced. Weasel's like, yeah, boy.
Yeah.
it's a compelling argument. I just, gosh, that's tough for me to take the Cardinals there. Huh. Interesting conversation.
Because, I mean, really, you got Josh Brown, Michael Floyd, and
Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I almost did it too. I almost said Fitzpatrick too. I can't blame you. I don't know, man. I'll tell you what. Let Weasel talk about, if you're done, Let's let Weasel talk about Colts Steelers and see if you still feel the same way. Weasel!
The Steelers at home had a slow start with their offense, but then it started clicking as the Steelers crushed the Colts 45-10.
Wait. Only 45-10? You call that clicking? I call that sucking. They're fire.
Yep. So, after suffering a concussion in last week's game versus the Seahawks, Steelers quarterback Big Ben Roethlisberger was cleared to play. He was 24 of 39, 364 yards and 4 touchdowns.
That's a lot.
He was not sacked, and he's been doing that for the past week since, like, I think there are some, like, Steeler records or even maybe NFL records about having, I think, over 400 total yards or something like
right.
that.
Right. Going into this game, I know this team led in receptions over 40 yards. I can't help but think that they extended that lead. They certainly have more than 20, I'll put it that way. And Ben has at least, off the top of my head, 3 games I can think of with 4 touchdowns, and it's probably more. Weasel.
So, Steelers running back D'Angelo Williams lost a fumble, but he had 26 carries for 134 yards with 5 catches for 31 yards. One of the best wide receivers in the NFL, eh? What can you say about Antonio Brown? 8 for 118 with 2 touchdowns. And how about if we had a final score of the day for the Steelers, returning a punt 71 yards for a touchdown?
But Weasel, why was Antonio Brown returning punts? Because Jacoby Jones fumbled 2 of them.
Yes.
Former Steeler killer and Baltimore Raven, the duck hunter that helped Joe the Foul Flacco win a Super Bowl in 2012, Mike Tomlin was doing the you can't beat him, join him defense. And Jacoby Jones fumbled him twice. I'm kind of shocked they didn't put him on a plane right there to send him home. I mean, they were in Pittsburgh, but maybe that's why they didn't put him on a plane. They were already at home. I don't know. Anyways, I thought that was ridiculous, and Antonio Brown's like, you know what? I got this, too.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy's amazing. And
I just had to say it, Weasel. I'm sorry.
Word. And so they have these two other guys there. Martavis Bryant had 4 for 114 yards and a touchdown, and Marcus Wheaton, 3 for 50 and a touchdown.
You didn't break 200? Cut him.
Colts quarterback Matt Hasselbeck was in for the injured Andrew Luck. 16 of 26, 169 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 INTs, sacked twice, lost a fumble. And the Colts, they did jump to a 10-6 lead midway through the second quarter after veteran running back Frank Gore caught a 9-yard touchdown pass. Overall, he had 3 catches for 49 yards. In addition, 13 carries, 145 yards, and a touchdown.
Did you just say Frank Gore had 49 yards?
Yes.
See what I did there? Because he used to play for the four. Shut up! That's funny!
Okay, I get it now.
hater!
And the Steelers defense, you could say they stepped up, not allowing another score for the rest of the game.
And let me add to that, 0 sacks by the Colts defense, 5 by the Steelers. They lead the league in team sacks, but they don't have anybody outstanding in the individual sack count, like in the top 5 or anything like that. Hashtag team defense. And look, I know that Dick LeBeau's not there anymore, but the spirit never dies, or at least it hasn't yet in Pittsburgh with that defense. I know it was a 40-year-old starting quarterback, but yeah, still. Anyways.
Tomlin is a defensive-minded coach, too, so.
Well, hey, there you go. Leave it at that. With the next game up, the Colts lost ground in the AFC South, currently have the lead there going into this game, giving the Houston Texans a chance to get a leg up and take the lead in the division. And it just didn't happen. Bills win 30-21 hosting the Houston Texans. Brian Hoyer did not have a bad game. I got to say, this one is not on him. 26 for 43, 293 yards with 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. But Tyrod Taylor, guys, got to tell you, if you go 11 for 21 for 211 yards and still manage 4 touchdowns on the day, you're doing something extremely weird and extremely right. Hashtag big plays. Speaking of big plays, Shady McCoy of the Bills, 21 carries for 112 yards. Hashtag balanced offense. 11 for 21, 21 carries by your top running back. Dude, I'm just saying. And for my money, that's the main reason you have big plays, is if you have a balanced offense like this. If you're somebody who's like, let's say, I don't know, a Brian Cushing, a linebacker for said Houston Texans, I'm creeping up. Create put. Oh, gonna, oh, crap. Play action touchdown. Damn it. CS3, Cecil Shorts, a third leading receiver for the Texans, 6 for 91. DeAndre Hopkins contributed a touchdown, as did tight end Ryan Griffin. Sammy Watkins, stop receiver for the Bills. He wanted the ball more. He got the ball more. 3 catches for 109 yards. I think that might be some of your big plays. Just saying. Watkins had a touchdown, as did Charles Clay and Robert Woods. Bottom line is, gentlemen, if the Texans want to try to win this division as garbage as it is, they got to step the game up, and they did not in this game. Meaning the door is open for the Jags to try to move things along for a miracle comeback and have their shot to try to claim the AFC South. Chris, Jags-Titans, how'd that go for them?
Well, the Jags blew the game, and the Titans did not allow a third comeback by the Jags to a Titans 42-39 shutout victory. So how did the Jags blow the game? Well, that's a good question, so let's just get this over with right now. Kyle, cue the music.
Uh-oh, not again. How'd it happen, Chris?
All right, Jason Myers, league-leading point after attempt missed the first kick of the day in the second quarter to bring his total to 5 on the year.
Wow. So if he misses 3 more, check this out. Oh, my God, this is mind-blowing. If he misses 3 more, one kicker would have missed just as many as the entire NFL last year. I'm sorry, that's my mind being blown.
Right, well, keep that music going, because, I mean, after, you know, so when the Jags scored their second touchdown, they had an attempt to go to 2 for 2, and they failed that. But later in the fourth quarter, he missed another point after attempt to bring his total to 6.
Wait, so this guy's at 6?
He's at 6 now. He missed 2 extra points in this game.
So if he misses 2 more by himself, he would have missed as many as the entire NFL kicking community last year combined. Weasel.
I'd say that, let's see, the extra points last year were from the 2-yard line, so it ended up being, what, like about a 21-yard field goal. What I understand why they picked it up off at the they moved it to the 15-yard line, but I was thinking, why not 10?
Stop being a punk.
Because 33-yard field goal is, you know, quote-unquote, should be a gimme. Robbie Gould.
Hashtag 49ers won a game. That means you suck.
But it's the kind of thing that I think if they moved it to, like, the 10, you would have, like, what is it, 27-yard field goal or something along those lines, which I think is the happy median, you could say, between kicking a field goal and kicking an extra point.
I don't agree.
Well, look, here's what the NFL wanted to do, why they moved it back there, because they wanted more misses, and they got it.
Oh, yeah, they definitely got it.
They didn't want it automatic anymore. I mean, they're still kicking more than 95% of extra points. So it's almost giving them most teams, you know, there's still, what, 10 teams I think I had last week that still have not missed an extra point.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, you had 22.
And what's funny is the Jets are on their – Jets have gone through 3 kickers, and their kicker they have now is Bullock. He started the season with the Texans, who missed 3 extra points at the beginning of the Texans, and he got cut.
Guess they should have stuck with him.
So really, I mean, if you look at the score, 42-39 in this game, there's 2 extra points missed. Then they had to go for 2 on another one. So that's another point. There's 3 right there. It would have been a tied game. So, oh, Gus sorry, Bradley, when are you going to cut this kicker? If you're looking for a previous Arena Football kicker, then just go up here to your Orlando Predators kicker, Mark Lewis. I mean, I could vouch for him, and he will not miss an extra point.
You know, I mean, at this point, I don't know how Jason Myers had a job after he blew the opportunity to beat the Colts the first time they played each other.
Sorry.
Yeah, so I don't know. Weasel.
I'm pretty sure for Arena League, isn't he – actual, like, I guess you can call it like a field goal or
the uprights.
Aren't they a lot more
narrow?
Narrow, yes.
Yes, they are. So. Absolutely. Now, granted, you're not kicking 50 or 60 yard kicks, but that's not the purpose and issue here. If you kick the length of the arena football field, that's longer than an actual PAT now. Just saying. Now,
well, go ahead. You do still kick 50 yard field goals in the arena because the field's 50 yards long, and you still can kick it because there's no punting. So if you get the ball on your 5 and you don't do anything, you still kick like a 50-something-yard field goal.
And they play it off the net. It's basically the same thing as a punt. But yeah, I got you. Which is why they had to make the uprights narrow, which, whatever. I see why you think Jason Myers should be cut, and we'll leave it at that.
Right, yeah, let's cut him, and if he still wants an arena kicker, just come up early and you don't have to really pay too much moving expenses, and just take up Mark Lewis. He's been looking for an NFL job anyway, and he won't miss that extra point like that.
Inside information.
But also, in the fourth quarter, Jags center snapped the ball over Bortles' head. Even the new basketball player for UCF, the 7'6", Taco Fall, wouldn't be able to catch it, how high the ball was. And it was covered in the end zone by the Titans.
You basically just said that Sean Bradley could not have caught this snap. That's pretty much what just happened right there.
All right. So Blake Bortles had a solid day. He was 24 for 36 for 322 yards. He set the Jags season record for most touchdown passes in a game with 5. And bringing his total to 27 on the year, which is a Jags quarterback record as well. Rookie running back T.J. Yeldon had 57 yards on the ground with a touchdown. Todd Robinson had 10 for 153 and 3 touchdowns. Julius Thomas and Rashard Green each had a touchdown catch. Marcus Mariota was 20 for 29 for 268 yards, 3 touchdowns, an INT. 7 of them were on a touchdown run, which is the longest touchdown run in NFL this season.
How long was Mariota's run? 87 yards?
87 yards.
The longest touchdown run on the season is by a bleeping quarterback, Mariota.
Previous run was 86 yards by Doug Martin. So running back Antonio Andrews also had a touchdown run. Dorial Green-Beckham had 5 catches for 119 yards and a touchdown. And tight end Delanie Walker had 8 for 92 with a touchdown. And tight end Craig Stevens had a touchdown. But with the Jags sitting at 4-8, we have as 4-12.
You cut out with the Jags at 4-8. What happened?
I said Weasel's projection is still holding true as he had them at 4-12 and during his preseason picks.
I'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah, I picked 4 games too.
No, you picked 5.
Oh, I'm creeping.
You picked 5, I picked 6, so we still could make it right. But right now, Weasel's been sitting there the last 3 weeks with four games, so at least he's doing that one right.
We'll find out who they pick in the study hall. But let's talk about a team that's a little bit more competitive. Oh, wait. Eagles, Pats. This isn't going to be competitive. Here, I'll knock this out real quick. So, the Eagles travel to Foxborough, and they win the game 38-20. What's going on here? Because you know the first thought we all had last week in the study hall when we saw this game? Does anybody remember?
It's a trap.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't our thought. We all said, anybody? Okay, moving on. So, apparently, Gronk matters. Yeah, we'll throw that out there. Now, granted, let's not be ridiculous. 21 points in special teams gifts. Okay, 14 in an interception return. Fine. But 21 points in gifts to the Eagles, certainly a factor here. I mentioned Gronk because the interception in question that was taken back for the touchdown was thrown to one Danny Amendola, who was not strong enough to make this play. However, if you threw this ball to, say, I don't know, one Rob Gronkowski, instant touchdown classic. Okay, maybe not instant touchdown classic, but it's certainly not an interception. Look, guys, I'm not a Patriots fan. If anything, I've been about as critical as anybody can be from as objective a seat as possible. But this was kind of a fluke. And if you enjoyed watching it, that's fine. But pop quiz. Does anybody buy into using the phrase Brady declining because of this game, Weasel?
Ridiculous.
Thank you. Chris?
Yeah. Oh, boy. We've been saying the Gronk's that offense anyway, so no.
Okay, boom. Oh, by the way, Julian Edelman's still out as well. Throw that out there. Even the Giants fan says that Brady isn't declining. Stop it! Okay. I'm good. I've never had to defend the Patriots like that before. It feels odd. Because usually I have to be like, well, look, guys, they're not as good as you think because this and this and this. No, Actually, no, I did the defend of the Patriots last year when they lost to the Chiefs, and everybody else said was Brady was declining then. And we all remember what happened, Weasel.
I think you defend Rob Gronkowski.
I do defend Rob Gronkowski. I don't advocate for Rob Gronkowski. Weasel.
As in Gronkowski over Brady for like something like MVP or Offensive Player of the Year.
Oh, sure, for MVP of that team. I'm not going to go neither of them. Well, I'd have to look at Brady's numbers more closely for Offensive Player of the Year, but I know I'm pretty certain that at this point in time, Carson Palmer has at least as many or more touchdowns than Tom Brady with a worse and a more difficult schedule. So, at any rate, two games dropped by the Patriots now. But when we were talking about it before the show, Weasel brought up the very interesting question, will the Patriots reclaim the third seed? Because with this loss now, I believe they are, or reclaim the second seed, I believe with this loss, they're now the third seed in the AFC. Which feels really wrong saying that. Of course, the Patriots' losses are the Broncos and now, of course, the Eagles.
Well, as for the Patriots possibly being the number three seed, you got to look at the other teams. Like, you got the Cincinnati Bengals, who they're, I don't think they've added like too many, like, you know, questionable losses, only two of them. And so I think they haven't had the rash of injuries that the Patriots had.
Yeah.
And then you got the Denver Broncos, who, no matter what happens on offense, the defense is one of the best in the NFL. So
the Bengals' defense isn't bad either. Let's call that what it is, too.
So I think with the Patriots, if they play like, you know, a respectable team that can put points on the board, I see them, you know, going down. So I'd say they would stick with the third seed.
Yeah, problem is the Patriots' schedule is pretty weak. I believe two of the teams are the Titans and the Dolphins. And, of course, this coming Sunday where I'll be in attendance is the Texans. Not exactly a bunch of juggernauts on that schedule, Weasel.
The Eagles, they're not exactly a top 10 team at all.
So,
So it's one of those things that the Eagles kind of were done, I thought. But Brady, yeah, they took it to him, and the injuries that they have is on offense and defense. I don't even know if there's many of them at all, but
on defense, there's a few.
There's a few, but so, but what it comes down to is that I think the defense of the Cincinnati Bengals and the defense of the Broncos, they got one up on the Patriots.
Here's one thing you need to be reminded of, Weasel, and it's something you have to recognize. Rob Gronkowski is going to be back next week.
You can't handle the truth.
We shall see.
We shall see. You know what we'll see?
You can't handle the truth.
I don't know why I had to do that. I just like that clip. Moving on. So, yeah, Gronk will be back next week. Hey, look, my goal is just to see J.J. Watt sack Tom Brady. I'm hot for Watt. Boom. Whatever. So the last game, the Carolina Panthers head to the division rival New Orleans Saints. Chris, break it down.
Right, we knew the Panthers' offense could put up points against the Saints' defense, like the Panthers have been putting up the last few weeks. But the Saints held with them in a shootout. The Panthers stayed undefeated, though, with a 41-38 victory. Cam Newton making his MVP candidacy case strong was 28-41 for 331 yards, 5 touchdowns, an INT. He should have had at least one more touchdown pass if it wasn't for Ted Ginn Jr. Dropping a few balls down the field.
I would have said at least Jonathan two Stewart. More.
Go ahead.
I said I would have said at least two more rather than just one more for Ginn.
Well, one was he was going in the end zone. They settled for a field goal. The other one, they scored on the drive anyway. And that's
and
why I said one more.
Still, shut up, Bennett. Well, okay, yeah, you're right. Never mind. Go ahead.
Jonathan Stewart had 82 rushing yards and a touchdown. Greg Olsen had 9 catches for 129 yards. Tim Gidd had 5 for 80 with 2 touchdowns. 5 of those catches were on 10 targets, so he got 50% of the balls.
That's so awful.
And he could have easily had 100 more yards if he didn't drop the ball either, because 2 of them were deep balls down the field that he got behind the secondary. And he just dropped the ball. Jericho Cotre, Mike Colbert, and rookie Devin Funchess each had a touchdown catch. For the Saints, Drew Brees was 24 for 42 for 282 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an INT. Mark Ingram had a touchdown run. Brandon Cooks had 6 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Coleman at 73 in a touchdown, and tight end Ben Watson had a touchdown.
The reason why this game was so close
was turnovers. Three for the Panthers, one for the Saints.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell the Panthers were mailing it in from moment one. And look, I'm with you that Cam proved in this game why he's the MVP. There's no question there. From, you know, slinging the ball down the field, throwing five touchdowns and throwing up 42 points to, you know, a play-action fake on fourth down where he fakes a handoff to Stewart, has a great fake, and then just takes it himself for about a 20, 30-yard scamper on fourth down to convert a big conversion. And look, guys, Cam Newton is probably the biggest factor why they won this game offensively. There's just not a question there. However, I do have to call him out because, granted, it was when the Panthers tied the game up, I believe, at 14 apiece. Newton had an opportunity to run the football in, and then he slowed up. He pulled up and got jacked in the head. I don't think he got hit in the head, actually, but he got hit high and just jacked very hard by a Saints linebacker. No, don't make that face, Weasel. He got hit very hard, you perv. Moving on. So the point is, if he had run full speed and gotten the touchdown before sloughing off, he wouldn't have got hit like that. When he got hit like that, he went into concussion protocol and left the game for the half, pretty much, under concussion protocol. Now, he was fine. He was found fine, you know, no signs of concussion, all that. But the punchline here is, because he sloughed off, because he spent time smiling, he put the entire franchise at risk. Because if he ended up with a concussion, you could probably, well, it's not a lock, but you could probably have put 16-0 possibilities out the window. And if he got hurt for any length of time, Carolina could be going back to a Super Bowl potentially for the first time since Jake Delhomme back in, what, I'm going to guess, 2003? Does that sound about right? I don't know. The point is this. It's a long bleeping time. All because you slept your sorry butt off going into the end zone. Yeah, I know it's one play, but that's all it takes. Look, I'm a Cam Newton guy, but I saw that play, and I'm not a guy who thinks that Cam Newton is selfish per se, but right then he was. And if I'm Riverboat Ron Rivera, which we all know how I feel about him as a coach, if I'm him, I'm reminding you, step your game up. You cannot slough off like this. Forget about if you want 16-0. If you want a Super Bowl, this can't happen, and you watched it happen to a team that had probably the best coach in our era. Anyways, rant over. You got anything else, Chris?
No, just really, I mean, the Panthers are 12-0 right now. Do you really see them losing a game this season, just the regular season, not including playoffs? The remaining schedule, they got the Falcons twice, the Giants, and the Bucks.
So, I'm going to be honest. If I'm first of all, who's the Week 17 game? Is the Week 17 game the Bucks or the
Bucks?
It is the Bucks. That's good news for the Bucks. Unless they're 15-0, because then they'll definitely play them full strength. And they have the Falcons twice. We know how I feel about them. The scariest game on that schedule, honestly, the New York Giants, without question. They need the game, and we have past precedent for this team to go out and go against the team trying for 16-0. Granted, it won't be in Week 17, but we know they play to their opposition. I think the Giants, you know what? When it comes to the Giants,
it's a trap.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say no. I don't think they win all of these games. Because the Dirty Birds, you know, they have to play them twice. That adds drama. The Giants, I can't look past them. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they lose one of these games. Weasel.
I think, you know, it's the thing about the Falcons, it's two games and it's a division game. So very well, even though the Falcons are pretty much doing crappy for the past, 6-7 weeks.
Oh, they're crappy birds, not just Dirty Birds.
Yeah. Crappy birds, that works too. I like it. So, but the thing is that you got a team like the Saints who, yeah, they have a terrible defense, and then they put up all those points against the Panthers defense. Mm. It's one of those things that They can very well lose it, but their schedule, it just matters what Falcons team you get. Do you get the 5-0 Falcons or the one that lost like 6-7?
Interesting point, my friend. Yeah, you know, I'll put it this way. If the Panthers do go 16-0, they're going to point you. I think people will point to this game as being the reality check that kept them playing hard for the rest of the year. What about you, Chris? Where do you fall in that?
Yeah, well, I can see them going easily 16-0. I think the hardest game really is going to be the Bucs, just because how the Bucs are playing. But then again, the Panthers can shut down the run, so that could limit the Bucs there. Giants, I think the defense is too much for the Giants, the Panther defense. And then also, I mean, you look at the Falcons. They play the Falcons and the Giants and the Falcons again. So, I mean, there's no rest between those 2 weeks there. Anything can happen in there. But really, I can see them easily going 16-0 just because looking at the strength of the schedule of who they have to play against.
So, Weasel, do you take issue with the Bucks as the toughest game there, or was that?
Because
I saw you shake your head no.
No. It's I think with the Bucks, you're looking at they're kind of, I would say, not really a mirror type thing, but you have Cam Newton and Jameis Winston. The thing is that in the beginning of the year, yeah, get a couple touchdowns or so, but the thing is as this year went by, Jameis Winston, he's putting up good numbers. I think he's four touchdowns. I think he had a 5-touchdown game, right?
Against the Titans, he had 4 touchdowns. Did he? I'd have to look to see if he had a 5-touchdown game, but he has at least one, maybe 2 4-touchdown games.
Any way you look at it, when you have him, when you have Winston, you have Doug Martin, you got the, I guess, Vincent Jackson, I think he's playing now, and they also got the, last year he was a rookie.
Let me correct one thing I said against the Titans. No, that was against the Saints. He had a 4-touchdown game. That's why I screwed that up.
Yeah, so he can very well, he could beat that team, so...
Interesting.
The players on that team, the defense, they rallied behind them, and that's part of being a leader. And all of the draft stuff you've heard, and with immaturity and stuff, but the guy is on the field. He's on the upper half of the NFL.
Seems to be doing his thing. Seems to be doing his thing. Anything else there, Chris?
No, that's it.
With that, steady howl. So, yeah. How are we looking there, Chris?
Last week, Weasel was 8-7, I was 11-4, and you were 12-3.
Oops.
Whatever.
Oh, by the way, Chris, just so I can get it out of the way, I'm creeping!
So, right now, I have a 2-game lead over Kyle, and I have an 11-game lead over Weasel.
My goal is single digits.
Weasel's going to start swinging for the fences. Yeah, boy. First game.
All right, we got Thursday night. We got the Vikings at the Cardinals. His defense, Cardinals, they can shut down Adrian Peterson, so I'm going to go Cardinals.
Interesting. I'm in a position to think that the balanced Cardinals offense is too much for the Vikings defense. I basically don't care what Adrian Peterson does, because it won't be as much as Carson Palmer and company will do. I have the Arizona Cardinals. Weasel.
Right now, I think Carson Palmer is kind of able to throw a lot of touchdown passes.
MVP candidate.
Huge points on the board. Oh, yeah. Yards, which is Teddy Bridgewater. He's still working on trying to get more than one touchdown a game. So, that being said, Cardinals.
I bet you wish the Vikings would play the Saints so that would happen.
I don't know if it would.
I can't front on that. Chris.
All right, next you get the Bills at the Eagles. Eagles was a fluke against the Patriots the other day. The Bills don't have an aging Tom Brady. They have Tyrod Taylor. See what I did there?
Yes,
I'm Bills.
Did. I have no reason to believe that the Eagles will pull two miracles in a row off like that. I got the Bills. Weasel.
I have the Bills also.
Rounding it out. Chris, next.
Next, you get the total bowl game. You get the Niners against the Browns. Johnny Manziel is going to be starting for the Browns this week, is what the initial reports coming out. But all that, I'm still going to go with the Niners because it is the Browns.
Probably damning my team to lose this game. I'm picking the Niners just because. Seems like the right thing to do. Call me a homer, whatever, weasel.
I definitely have the Niners.
Interesting. I thought you were going to take a chance to get a game there.
No.
Okay. No. Enough of that swinging for the fences. Bleep right here, okay? Next game.
Next, you get the Lions at the Rams. The Rams is all just torn up. Lions have been playing decent lately. I'm going Lions.
I have the Lions here, too, mostly because the Rams look bad. Sure, they'll be demoralized after the Packers win, but they at least have been improved and have a starting quarterback. I have the Lions. Weasel.
If the last play is a Hail Mary pass, then I definitely have the other team. But Lions, they've been showing that they can compete. So I got the Lions.
Fair enough. Next.
Well, you got the Saints at the Bucks. The Bucks have more to play for right now than what the Saints do. So really, the Saints only play for pride. I'm going for Bucks.
You know what? I think I'm three of the past four picking the Bucks. And I'm going to go again with the Bucks. I don't think the Saints will pull another performance like they did yesterday. And I think the Bucks win another football game. I think the Bucks win against the Saints. I don't have a great analysis why. I do know that the Bucks have a balanced offense against a garbage defense of the Saints. And I'll tell you what, Brandon Browner at the corner position, he gets called for more holding than I've been accused of doing with my wife on date night, okay? No, it's just the bottom line there. The defense is bad up front and in the air. And Jameis Winston takes care of the football and wins the game. I see the Bucks myself. Weasel.
Got to take the Bucks. I think if the Saints score a lot of points, the Bucks could do that too.
Yeah, could be a Breeze-Winston shootout. I can't rule that out. Good call, Weasel. Next.
Next, you have the Titans at the Jets. Really, Jets, Darrell Revis should be coming back off of the concussion protocol this week. I don't think it matters. I still think Jets will win. I got the Jets.
Yeah, anybody, Weasel?
Yeah, get the Jets.
Yeah. Jets. Okay, great. Hey, moving on.
you got the Steelers at the Bengals. It's probably the best matchup of the week.
I agree.
Probably one of the toughest to pick here. But I'm going with history. Andy Dalton was his fifth year in the league.
That's correct.
But then he's lost in week 14, four out of the 5 years that he's been in the league. I'm going to go Steelers.
You're an idiot, but you still made the right pick. I don't care how you slice it. That Steelers offense. Gentlemen, know this is fact. The Steelers are no longer just a defensive football team.
Well, defensive, and they pretty much had the running game.
Let me rephrase. Their offense first. Boom. I said it. And I was, you know what? You know what people are talking about a lot lately? Granted, I wouldn't give it to him based on his receiver core. But how about Ben Roethlisberger as an MVP candidate?
Most definitely.
But today, I might be forced to hand him my offensive play of the year instead. And I just don't think Andy Dalton company can keep up with that, especially if Eifert's still out. I got the Steelers. Should have won the first game, technically speaking, except for Ben's mistake. Yeah. Weasel.
I'm going to take the Steelers. I think they'll be able to match points with the Bengals. So definitely got the Steelers.
Homer. See, it's funny because I picked the Steelers too, and I'm not a homer. Next game.
Next, you got the Patriots at the Texans. I don't see the Patriots losing three games in a row. It's hard enough to see them. Well, not hard enough for me, but hard to see them lose two games in a row. The Texans have no offense, so they're not going to be able to keep up with the points. So I'm going to go Pats.
I'm not going to go so bold to say they have no offense because of what Hoyer did throwing three touchdowns against a pretty good Bills defense. But I will say that if I'm asked to pick a shootout scenario between Brian Hoyer and Tom Brady, That's just kind of a no-brainer. It might be closer than we think it is, but at the end of the day, the Texans get beaten, possibly played out of divisional contention. I have the Patriots, though I do hope I at least see a sack of Brady by J.J. Watt while I'm there in person. I'm hot for Watt! Yeah. Weasel.
Yeah, I don't think the Texans do. They have a great defense. It's people were wanting that, like, in the beginning of the year, it didn't look so look like that. But this second half, they're definitely looking respectable. So that being said, points for points, I think the Patriots will definitely be able to go up on them. So Patriots,
mostly because Gronk is back. I can't front on that. Next.
Next, you got the Colts of the Jags. Jags should have won this first game here. But realistically, I've been picking the Jags lately, and they've been burning me. I'm going to go Colts. Even though how bad the Colts defense is playing, I think Jags can put up some points, but I'm going to go Colts.
Yeah, I'm picking the Colts, too. You want to talk about bad defense? How about letting Zach Mettenberger's lit offense light up 42 points on you? That's some bad defense, and that was the Jaguars last week. I got no belief left in me in Jacksonville. I have the Colts. Weasel.
Well, going off your last point, I definitely have the Jags, and I think it's... I'm wondering about that Jags offense, because you have Allen Hurns, you have Allen Robinson, you have Julius Thomas, but the thing is that if you give, like, you know, Tom Brady those guys, because Bortles right now is, he's really getting everything out of that offense, and he's putting up points on the board, so I will pick the Jags.
You pick the Jags, okay. You picked against that Hasselbeck. I'm weirded out.
Nah, he
that.
Lost, so now he's nothing to me.
Yeah, so much for you, punk. Next game.
Next, you get the Chargers and the Chiefs. This will make number 7 in a row for the Chiefs.
Anybody?
I got the Chiefs.
Anybody?
Chiefs, yeah.
Okay, moving on. 7 in a row.
Next, you get. Yeah, you get the Bears. Your skins at the Bears. You don't know what you're getting out of either of these teams. I just don't believe in the skins. I'm going to go Bears.
I just don't believe in the Bears, especially a team that lost to the 49ers. I got the skins. Weasel.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely go for the Redskins. I think they got the defense, decent offense, and I think Deshaun Jackson's producing too. So I will pick the skins.
I won't tell Amanda. We're cool.
Whatever.
I got you, dog. Yeah, whatever. It's all fun and games. I mean, look. I just want your rehab to go well. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Next game.
Next, we get the Falcons and the Panthers. I don't see the Panthers losing this one. They're going to be 13-0.
The Dirty Birds go down. Panthers.
They have them two more times, so I think they're going to they could possibly split one and one with each other. So, but this game is going to be Panthers.
Boom. Next.
Next, you get the Raiders at the Broncos. I got Broncos.
Chris put stock in Brock. But do I think the Raiders will go far with Carr? I do, but not in this game. I'm going to take the league's best defense right now. I got the Broncos, Weasel.
I agree with the Broncos.
All right, next game.
Next, you got the Cowboys and the Packers. Cowboys don't have a quarterback. I'm going to the Packers.
Anybody moving on?
Next, you got the Seahawks at the Ravens. I'm going to Seahawks.
Yeah, man. Okay. Yeah, Seahawks.
And then Monday night, you have the Giants at the Finns. I'm going Giants. Finns don't impress me at all. Neither do the Giants half the time, but I still got the Giants.
What are you talking about? Fresh of taking down that juggernaut known as the Baltimore Ravens, led by No, whatever. I got the Giants too, Weasel.
Yeah, can't go against the Giants this time.
I mean, you have to at least analyze it because, you know, they are like the entire box of chocolates in Forrest Gump when it comes to the Giants. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Eli, greater than the Giants versus...
Fins.
Fins, yeah. Yeah, Tannehill, come on.
Eli, greater than Tannehill. That's a simple defense, and I can't front on it. So, yeah, that'll do it for this week. That was the study hall. This has been the Student of the Game. Of course, check out the website, www.ngscsports.com. Spreaker.com. That's where you can check us out, along with our other outlets, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TalkShoe, probably a partridge in a pear tree somewhere in there, you know. Of course, check out my Matchup Mania, telling you the best games to watch for the weekend. And soon, I know I keep talking about it, but the audio's been turned in, and the video's being edited for the next episode of the Sports Symposium. You can check that out on NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Of course, for Stephen Weasel Hurley, at Weasel the SOTG on Twitter. For the local hero, Chris Rankin, at Hydraulic Upright, U-P-R-I-T-E, on Twitter. Of course, for me, Kyle Nash, the student of the game, at the SOTG on Twitter. Class is dismissed.